Welcome back, everybody. Today is Wednesday of the first week of Advent. We are so happy to have you with us.
And it's a joy for Janelle and I to serve you this way. So thank you for watching. We appreciate the time that you give to us. So we hope that you're blessed. Today, we continue the theme of examining St. Alphonsus' Advent sermons. And he talks about this topic as the great thought. And he borrows that idea from St. Augustine. And so we're talking about eternity. And the very first paragraph is what stood out to me, because it's really relevant in our lives. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to the quote first.
He who builds a house for himself takes great pains to make it commodious, airy, and handsome, and says, I labor and give myself a great deal of trouble about this house, because I shall have to live in it all my life. And yet how little is the house of eternity thought of?
Have you ever considered building a handsome house? Obviously, the language is a little different back then, but his point is very simple. You're building a house, you give a lot of thought to it because you're going to spend your life in it, but how much more should we consider eternity? And this is really relevant for Janelle and I because on a personal note, we have sold our house and we are living in a rental right now in hopes to be moving into a place that we're building next spring. Just a property line. Moving it a couple feet back and forth. How much thought is given to that? But when I read this today, I thought, will that property line really matter a million years from now? And the answer is no, unless I lost my eternal soul because of the property line. Because there's certain things in our life that we can just fixate on, attach on, mm-hmm. and they can actually hurt our relationship with Jesus. So I got a question for you. What's the property line in your life? What's that thing that you're obsessing about that maybe is distracting you from living with an eternal perspective?
The saints to obtain salvation thought it little to give their whole life to prayer, penance, and the practice of good works. So I was just kind of thinking, how is this applicable to my life? You know, I don't live in a convent. I'm not living in a cave like a, you know, someone in solitude. But at the same time, there is a ton of penance that I could be doing in this house every single moment, truly. You know, a kid keeps interrupting, or someone needs a diaper change, or meals need to be made, things need to be cleaned. Can I do all those little tasks with joy? Can I offer them up out of love for God?
The sacrament of marriage is a unique relationship because the penance often comes in the form of the other person. In marriage, we learn to serve each other. And often in that relationship, that's where the cross is. That's where the penance is. My cross happens to be very beautiful. I don't know about yours. But the Lord teaches us to love. He teaches us to carry our cross. He teaches us to do penance in the sacrament of matrimony through the relationship that, with our spouse and with our children. Yesterday, we spoke about mental prayer. And today, we'll continue on with that theme about its end and object. 3 points.
We must meditate in order to unite ourselves more completely to God. It's not so much good thoughts in the intelligence as good acts of the will or holy desires that unite us to God.
You know, we don't pray and enter into mental prayer so that we can learn more about God simply for the sake of learning. The purpose of mental prayer is to unite ourselves to God. And this is hopefully why you're watching these videos, is that you have a desire to unite yourself to God, not simply to grow in knowledge about the Catholic faith, but to fall in love and unite yourself to the one who has given us this faith.
We must meditate in order to obtain from God by prayer the graces that are necessary in order to enable us to advance on the way of salvation, to avoid sin, and to take the means that will lead us to perfection. St. Gregory writes, God desires to be entreated. He desires to be constrained. He desires to be, as it were, conquered by importunity. That's such a hard word, importunity. Actually, I read that and I'm like, I don't even understand any of those words. So like, I don't know why you picked that. Do you know what it means?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about
that right now. Did you have to look up definitions?
What's importunity? This is exactly why I picked this passage. It means to ask to the point of annoyance. A parent knows this about kids. How often have we just given in to a child's request because they've asked for the 10th time?
Yeah, I do that regularly, actually.
It's a bad parenting, maybe, but you know, eventually a child just wears on you. You say no, 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 and finally you come to some sort of reason and think, okay, they're going to stop asking if I just give in to their request. Now, hopefully we have the child's good in mind when we do this. With God, He desires to be desired. And so He welcomes us to ask. In fact, Jesus in the scripture says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. I believe that's in Matthew 6 or 7, but He continues to say, ask, knock, seek. And He says this 6 or 7 times continuously. Why does Jesus repeat Himself over and over and over again in one breath? Ask, seek, knock. Well, because sometimes we just don't get it. God desires to be sought after. He desires us to ask Him. So look at the spiritual needs of your life. Do you just assume that God sees your needs? And because of this assumption, you think, well, God will come and send me the grace? It's a bad assumption. Because we are to ask for the graces that we need. Now, for those graces that we're unaware of, God will, I think, come and assist us. But as soon as we are aware of the needs in our life, we have a responsibility to present them towards our Lord. So ask.
We must apply ourselves to meditation, not for the sake of spiritual consolations, but chiefly in order to learn what is the will of God concerning us.
The biggest question we should ask ourselves is, God, what do you want of my life? This changed my life when I was 19 years old. I was spending time with some young guys or on the basketball court, and they were always talking about God's will. Never heard young men talk about this before. Asking, Lord, what do you want in my life? That inspired me to start asking that same question. So friends, we hope that you're blessed by today's message. Please comment below. Share with us what stood out to you and why. Remember to say that rosary. We'll link right up there. And we'll see you
tomorrow.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to get all our videos emailed to you, head over to catholicspeaker.com and join Catholic Minute. And a special thank you to our Patreon team. You allow us to keep all our videos free for everyone. So thank you so much for your monthly support.